Strange and Unusual presents From the Mind of C. Paris, From the Money of C. Magana, Friend of the Family.
Hi everyone, C. Paris here to explain the premise of Friend of the Family. No, wait, there's too much. Let me sum up. For the past 3 years, we have followed the teenage hunter Alice Belford as she hunted down the supernatural with her family's resident vampire, Asmodeus, compelled to serve her due to an ancient promise. You should go back and listen, they're really good. We now rejoin her in her 20s, still protecting the innocent and still stuck with Asmodeus. Now, on with the show!
Our story begins Monday, morning in the afternoon. The sound of rain softly falling from darkened skies suits the mood of the Belford estate. Belfords from near and far gather at the mansion, even those who had long since left home. They gather for the day that many thought would never come, the funeral of Marjorie Belford.
Mina, Alice, are you ready? The service is about to start.
Almost, Mom. Just a minute.
We'll be right down. It doesn't feel real, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Maybe if we just stay up here. Maybe if we don't go, it doesn't have to be real.
That would be nice. But it doesn't work that way. Come on, let's head downstairs. Mom's waiting.
The two sisters slowly and mournfully headed downstairs and met with their mother at the base. Each grabbed their mother's hand and squeezed them in support. Also at the bottom of the stairs was Asmodeus, dressed in a black suit.
There you are. Let's go ahead and head out. I think Keith's prepared a lovely service.
You and Mina go ahead. I'll be right there.
Karen and Mina nodded before heading out the door, leaving Alice and Asmodeus at the bottom of the stairs.
Alice?
Listen, Asmodeus, I know you don't really care about any of us.
Let me guess, you're about to lecture me about behaving.
Just not today. Be as big of an ass as you want any other day, but I swear to God, if you act like you...
Not today.
What?
Not today. You have my word. I will be on my very best behavior today.
Really?
Really. You know I had nothing but respect for Marjorie.
That is surprisingly mature of you.
Besides, Wilhelmina already made me promise.
Well, whatever the reason, I'm grateful. Let's go.
The two of them head out to join the rest of the family, out into the dismal grey weather. They soon catch up with Wilhelmina and Karen, who had found their places alongside Lawrence Belford. Lawrence looked particularly worse for wear, his skin pale and his eyes red. More and more Belfords began to file into the room, most stopping by to check on Lawrence, including Samantha Belford, substantially less prickly than when she was last seen.
Lawrence, how are you holding up?
About as well as can be expected, I suppose. I knew this day would come, but, well, you're never really prepared to say goodbye.
I know. But we'll get through it. Somehow.
You're right. I'd better get back to my seat. I hear Keith has prepared something really special.
You won't be sitting with us in the front row?
I'll be on the other side. This isn't the time or place to get into it, but we both know our relationship is... strained. You go ahead and sit with Lawrence. I know you two are close.
Samantha, if you are in need of comfort later...
Asmodeus!
I am being nice!
Shh!
I think the ceremony's about to start.
And indeed it was. People began to find their seats as Keith Belford walked up to the podium.
Greetings, everyone. Thank you all for coming. I know it's a bit unorthodox for me to be up here leading the funeral. It really should be a priest or something. But Marjorie said many times that When it was her time to go, she wanted to keep things in the family as much as possible. I'm going to do my best to honor that request, and to honor her as well. Marjorie Belfort, to all who knew her, was a force of nature. She was... What the hell?
Before the gathered assembly and behind Keith, there seemed to be a horrendous noise and a tear through the very fabric of reality began to form. Keith held tight to the podium to prevent himself from being drawn into the developing wormhole. As the gap widened, a grisly figure stepped forward, a blonde beard covering his face and an eye patch over his left eye.
That looks like...
It can't be.
Is that...
Hunter?
Indeed, it does appear to be Hunter Belfort, but that doesn't make any sense. He's been gone for years. There's another figure coming through the portal. It's... Asmodeus? This is making less and less sense. Keith stares at the two of them agape as Hunter strides up to the podium and the tear in reality begins to close.
Hey, it's Keith, right? You're not around much in my reality. You don't mind if I say a few words, do you?
What?
Go sit down. Hello, everybody. Sorry to interrupt, but we've got a schedule to keep. I'm seeing a lot of familiar faces, some new. You must be dead in my dimension. Am I around here somewhere? Always fun to run into myself.
Hunter? But... you're dead.
Oh, hey, not Mom. Am I? That's a shame. But I'm rambling. Greetings. I'm sure you're all a little confused, but I and this Asmodeus... Say hello, Asmodeus.
Hello.
Good boy. We're from an alternate dimension, a dimension where Marjorie Belfort lives and reigns eternal, and she's now incorporating your reality into her own. This need not be a painful process. All you need to do is submit to her will. We can do this the easy way or the hard way. If the current Belfort Hunter could...
Ha!
In the middle of Hunter's speech, Alice tossed a dagger in his direction, mostly as a distraction, before rushing the stage. Unfortunately, Hunter seemed prepared for this attack, not only dodging the blade, but pulling out his sword to meet with Alice's Bavarian battle axe.
Alice? You're the Hunter? That is surprising.
Yeah, not the first time I've heard that from you, actually.
Okay, hard way it is. Asmodeus, go take care of your double, will you?
Yes, Hunter.
And with that, Asmodeus, or rather the alternate version of Asmodeus, leapt at his double, attacking with full force. Claws were drawn, and he managed to catch Asmodeus, or rather our Asmodeus, by surprise.
What in the devil?
It's nothing personal. Hunter's orders. You know how it goes. Why are you talking like that? Talking like what? Oh, you mean our natural voice? Honestly, lowering it to seem more mature is a bit childish in itself, don't you think? Do not put yourself in the same league as me. I am you. Idiot!
While the vampires fought each other, or I suppose in a sense while the vampire fought himself, you know, there's rather an interesting metaphor going on here.
Stop philosophizing!
Right, I'll save that for later. While the Asmodeus is, Asmodei? Yeah, while the Asmodei fought, Alice began to square off against Hunter. Other Belfords were fleeing the funeral tent. Life as a Belford did trend towards the unusual, but this was a bit out of everyone's scope of experience.
Mina, get everyone out of the tent. This could get ugly.
I'm on it. Come on, we've got to go.
But that's Hunter!
Not really.
That may be a Hunter, but it's not your son. Mina's right. We need to get out of here. Mina, Karen, Samantha, Keith, climb aboard my wheelchair. I just installed something that may be of use.
Is it booster rockets? I don't know how well those will work with five people.
Just get on!
So they all climbed on as best they could to Lawrence's wheelchair, which, admittedly, was not terribly well. Lawrence opened the cover to a red button located on the right arm of his wheelchair.
Hold on tight!
And with that, the five of them disappeared from the funeral-turned battlefield. In the blink of an eye, they were gone. Well, that was fairly handy indeed.
Neat trick. Haven't seen that one before.
Good. Now you won't be able to get to them.
Why would I be trying to get them? I'm not here to hurt anyone. Just to arrange the unconditional surrender to my Marjorie Belfort. Is it the speech? Maybe I should change the speech.
Two battles raged, one between the two Belfort hunters and the other between the vampires. The latter seemed to be fairly evenly matched, each Asmodeus parrying the other's attacks, all happening at speeds too quick for the human eye. A similar, albeit slower, battle takes place between Alice and Hunter.
You know, this is the fifth world I've taken over in Marjorie's name, and every single one of you fought.
Gee, it's almost like a family dedicated to taking down monsters doesn't take well to being told what to do.
Fair point, but really, Alice, there's no point in fighting. All Marjorie wants is to rule. If you and everyone else agree to fall in line, everything goes back to the same way it was before, except Asmodeus has to die.
What? Oh!
Momentarily distracted, the alternate Asmodeus gets a hit in on our version.
You see, our Asmodeus is the only other vampire that Marjorie suffers to live. But all the Belfords will be spared, I assure you. Provided you put down your axe and surrender.
Alice, don't you dare!
I'm not gonna!
Stubborn bunch. Well, maybe the rest of the family will see reason once I kill you two.
And how do you plan on doing that? The way I see it, we're pretty evenly matched.
Hunter gave Alice a wide grin. I have a bad feeling about this.
Oh, this little tete-a-tete is just to give you time to see the light. If we're past that... Asmodeus, playtime's over.
Right. Asmodeus, this is going to hurt me as much as it does you. What are you on about?
Oh! The alternate Asmodeus pulled a small package from his pocket. In a moment of confusion, this world's Asmodeus allowed him to open it, which resulted in a sunburst exploding in the tent.
What the hell?
Like it? I call it an SVP, Solar Vampiric Pulse. That'll knock both of them out for about 5 minutes.
I can't believe your Asmodeus did that to himself.
Yeah, I've noticed he's a bit better trained than the other versions I've come across. So, absolute last chance, do your surrender.
No!
Alright then. You know I'm gonna stop asking and just kill the hunter of the next world we conquer. It was fun at first, but now it's just getting old.
Hunter began to lift the corner of his eye patch. Alice, sensing that nothing good could come from that, goes to block him, and both of their actions are stopped short by the sound of another tear in the fabric of time and space.
Hunter! Think fast!
The figure shoots out a net from her massive gun, which misses Hunter by inches.
Shelley? What the hell? Marjorie's gonna hear about this.
Shelley? Sabrina Shelley?
Time for introductions later! He's got a basilisk eye!
Shit!
Alice quickly adjusts herself, placing the flat of her axe between herself and Hunter, shielding herself from the basilisk's deadly gaze should Hunter manage to remove the eye patch, although she wasn't planning on giving him the chance.
2 against 1? That's hardly fair.
Don't talk to me about fair, you goddamn piece of trash.
Trash?
His hatred focused on Sabrina, he turned towards her, right hand already flipping over the eye patch. Sabrina squeezed her eyes shut and blindly fired the net gun. Alice took advantage of the distraction and with the end of her battle axe, shoved Hunter into the incoming net.
Rookie mistake. Just what I'd expect from an amateur.
What's going on?
Good question, but we'll have time for that later. Right now we've got to restrain his Asmodeus. Which one's yours?
The one in black.
Right, duh. We're probably at this Marjorie's funeral. Are you going to help me or not?
We rejoin Alice back in the Belford mansion, sitting in the kitchen along with Sabrina Shelley, who is calmly drinking a cup of coffee. She is joined by Karen, Wilhelmina, Lawrence, and a very groggy Asmodeus. Our Asmodeus, not the other one. I'm going to have to come up with some sort of a nickname.
This is good coffee. Whoever made this has excellent taste.
There are more pressing concerns than coffee. Such as, what in the devil is happening? Why is there another version of me, and why is he such a loser?
Well, it's pretty much like I'm sure Hunter explained to you. We're from a dimension where Marjorie Belford rules the world with an iron fist, and thanks to stealing some of my family's technology, she's now set on conquering other realities, usually waiting for whatever dimension she has her eyes on to have their Marjorie pass away. Oh, I'm not sure if I've introduced myself. I'm Sabrina Shelley.
Yeah, we've met. Or at least I've met a version of you.
Oh, in that case, I'm sorry for being such a bitch.
How do you know you were a bitch?
Because I'm a bitch. But we're clearly in an enemy of my enemy scenario here.
Where's Victor?
Who?
The guy who helped her hunt? You know, he was like you, but pleasant and helpful.
Sabrina's grip tightened on her mug.
Victor's gone. Scrap for parts.
Oh, I'm sorry. He was nice when I met him. Or this version of him.
He was.
Not to interrupt, but why is Grammy trying to take over?
Grammy? Oh, Marjorie would love that. And I don't know. I guess she feels everywhere will be better under her control. That and she's a soul-sucking vampire. No offense.
None taken.
Wait, Grams or Or your version of Grams is a vampire who turned her?
Who do you think? Her sire and now gutless lackey, Asmodeus. Again, no offense.
You know what? A little offense.
At least that explains why she's so ruthless.
Karen and Lawrence share a look.
Look, I saved your dimension from Hunter, so it would be nice of you to return the favor. Marjorie needs to go down, but I can't take her out by myself, especially with Victor gone. No world is safe with her alive.
Alice pondered a moment. Objectively, she knew that a world-conquering vampire had to be stopped. But on the other hand, she didn't know if she could face her great-grandmother, any version of her great-grandmother, in a fight. But, after a brief mental debate, Alice knew she really didn't have a choice.
All right, I'll help you. But I'm not sure how.
Now is the best time to strike. With Hunter and Asmodeus away, she's at her most vulnerable. Not that that's saying a lot.
So you want Alice to go over to your dimension?
Alice and her... your... whatever, this Asmodeus. We might be able to convince her it's the same Asmodeus as from my dimension. It might be enough to catch her off guard.
What did we do with Hunter and the other Asmodeus anyway?
Bound them for the moment. We have some enchanted manacles that can hold a vampire. We kept them around, just in case.
Well, that's comforting.
But where are they? I don't think they should be kept in the house.
They aren't. Keith took them out to the shed.
The shed?
That's where the cages are.
Cages?
Oh, dear. Alice, Mina, you're both too young to remember, but...
Before you came along, things were done a little differently. Sometimes previous hunters were required to get answers from various creatures they were fighting.
Sounds like interrogation to me. Probably torture. Not that I'm judging, but you've got to call a spade a spade.
We tortured people?
No! Not people. Besides, Henry put a stop to that. But for now, it's probably the safest place for the hunter and the...
Can we call him the shitty Asmodeus? I'd like that.
I'm not torturing anybody. Not even Hunter. Not even Asmodeus.
Shitty Asmodeus.
Nobody said you had to, but we are running low on time. The longer they're gone, the more likely Marjorie is going to notice something is up. I'll just ask a few questions and then we can get going.
You're not going to talk to them alone.
Fine, but one thing to keep in mind while you're feeling self-righteous is that there are worlds at stake.
And so, Alice and Sabrina made their way to the shed, where Keith had indeed left Hunter and the alternate Asmodeus.
Shitty Asmodeus!
I'm not going to call him that! Where Keith had indeed left them in separate cages. Both had their hands tied behind their backs, Hunter looking more than a little frustrated and embarrassed, the other Asmodeus...
Boo!
Attempting to remain as dignified as possible.
Hello, Hunter. You're looking a bit worse for wear.
When Marjorie finds out about this, the Shelleys will be wiped off the map. Not just you, not just our world's Shelleys, all of them.
Gosh, then I'll just have to make sure that she doesn't find out. Where's the portal device, Hunter?
Hunter snarled at Sabrina. If looks could kill, she would be dead where she stood. Not that Sabrina seemed to mind. In fact, she appeared to be rather enjoying her position of power over him.
And if voices could kill, I would be dead of boredom a long time ago.
Why would I tell you anything?
Good point. Alice, do you have a handkerchief or something?
No, why would I?
I have one.
May I? Thanks.
After taking the handkerchief from Asmodeus, Sabrina quickly reached through the bars, grabbed the side of Hunter's jaw, and forced the handkerchief into his mouth.
Gross, you owe me a new hanky.
Put it on my bill. Now Asmodeus.
What?
Not you, the one who's caged.
Just call him the shitty Asmodeus.
Stop trying to make shitty Asmodeus happen. It's not going to happen.
Oh, thank you very much, Regina George. Who are you talking to? What do you mean, who am I talking to? The big fat stupid head, of course. He's here? Of course he's here. Didn't you just hear him trying to be clever?
What's happening?
I am very clever, I'll have you know.
There, right there. I can't hear him. What, seriously?
No, really. What's happening?
There's this voice guy who apparently narrates everything that happens to us. Apparently the other Asmodeus can't hear him.
I had noticed that when we went raiding that the big fat stupid head was silent, but I thought that was because we were never there long. I don't think I can hear him in this dimension. Well, that hardly seems fair. Shelley, I will help you on one condition.
You're not really in a position to bargain.
Let me stay here and I'll tell you everything.
Wait, really?
It's so quiet here. It's
so blessedly quiet. No more prattling on and on, just silence, glorious silence. You can't imagine what it's like.
I can.
And so, apparently due to my help...
Because you're annoying.
Because I'm annoying, apparently. Alternate Asmodeus told Sabrina and Alice everything. The location of the portal device, the fortifications in that version of the Belford Mansion, generally everything that Alice and Sabrina would need to know. Quickly, the two of them prepare for the trip, with one last meeting around the kitchen table.
So it's decided. Sabrina, Asmodeus, and I will go to the alternate dimension. Keith, you're in charge here until we get back.
Got it.
We're going to leave the extra portal device here.
Assume if we aren't back in a couple of days, everything has gone horribly wrong. Maybe you can get a hold of my counterpoint here and send her over.
What are we going to do about Hunter and the other Azzy?
Mina, please don't call him that.
We'll hold on to them for now. Perhaps once this situation is resolved, we can put them back in their home dimension.
But we promised the other Asmodeus he could stay here.
Did we? I don't recall saying that. Besides, why would I keep a promise to a vampire?
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Okay, fair point. We'd better get going.
Just be careful, Alice. I don't want to lose you two.
It'll be okay. No more dangerous than any other mission, right?
Oh, but is it, Alice? She hugged Mina goodbye and linking hands with Asmodeus and Sabrina, the latter of whom took out her own portal device. The room around Alice began to blur and whirl and transform until it was nothing but shapes and colors. Wind whipped around Alice as a dull roar began to fill her ears. She was lost, lost in a sea of nothing, all of this taking place in the span of a second and forever. Then, just in front of her, a tear began to form, opening up to reveal a field. She recognized it as the small hill just outside of the Belford home, and then she steps through.
Marjorie Belford taps her finger impatiently. Hunter and Asmodeus should have been back by now. Perhaps this reality was giving them a bit more trouble. In the end, she supposed it didn't really matter. She would get everything she wanted. All she had to do was wait.
Wait a minute, who are you?
I'm the narrator. Who are you?
I'm the narrator. Well, narrator of my universe anyway. You must be this dimension's narrator.
I've never met another narrator before.
Me either. Well, you're a rather good-looking fellow, if you don't mind me saying.
And you are not so bad-looking yourself, if you don't mind me saying.
What is happening?
Oh, right, the story. I'm just about at the end of mine.
Oh, I just finished mine, by all means.
Thank you. Listeners, it looks like this is another two-parter. Will Alice be able to overcome this universe's Marjorie Belford? Stay tuned to the next episode to find out. Until then, listeners, good night for now.
Hello, you've been listening to Friend of the Family, a version of Friend of the Family, anyway. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review us on iTunes. You can also listen to us at our website, strangeinunusual.com, or for easier access, snu.wtf, or snu.horse. Why not? You can also reach us on Facebook at Strange and Unusual Productions, or on Twitter at FriendOTFamily. That's all for now, I guess. They all better pray that I don't escape, or I'll make them suffer.